What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful Select. Time for my AEW NXT recap. I did not fantastically love either show. I expected AEW to be better going in. I don't know that it was. I thought that the bookends for NXT were pretty solid, and the middle of AEW were pretty solid. But let's go ahead and get into it. Keith Lee comes out, gives a little bit of a speech about winning the championship, and says that there's a man who also deserves some credit besides Killer Tim Brooks, the late Killer Tim Brooks. He brings out Dominik Dijakovic and admits that he's been looking at his career and what's going on, referencing the call-up that is imminent for Dijak, and hopefully to God they just call him Dijak, because this Dominik Dijakovic shit is ridiculous. The man's name is Chris Dijak. It's much easier to say, but they got a match for tonight. Let's go ahead and get into it. This was not the barn burner that I expected and that we have seen in the past. I'm sure they will have many more barn burners to come, as they have on the independent circuit and as they have in NXT. This wasn't the barn burner. It was great. It was really good, I should say that. I don't want to say great. It was very good, but it just wasn't at that same like level. I did really enjoy the cell where Dijakovic, like his limbs went stiff and up in the air, and he sold that extensively for the Big Bang Catastrophe. Outside of that, even though there was the women's title match at the end, this show, it felt like kind of just there when I was watching it. But when I look back, I see that NXT had probably the more packed show, so to speak, because you had the Indy Hartwell win over Shotzi Blackheart because Aaliyah helped her out. I love that. I'm a big fan of them putting someone like Indy Hartwell, one, with Robert Stone, two, giving her a big win. Because if you just come in 50-50 everybody, then nobody seems important. And right now, Robert Stonebrand seems like losers, but not if Indy Hartwell wins and she joins. So I really like that decision. Damian Priest gets the win over Cameron Grimes. I still have issues with how the booking of Damian Priest has been since they made him a babyface. I've said it time and time again. I don't need to say it again. He got over doing what he did. They haven't had him do that. But a little bit more so during this match. The Razor's Edge powerbomb on the edge of the apron was really cool. This win was a little bit quicker than some of them in the past. So WWE is just so monumentally bad at booking baby faces. It's real frustrating, man. Oh, real frustrating. We see Damian Priest wishing both Keith and Dominik luck in their match, and he said afterwards that he's got his eye on one of them. We then get a Timothy Thatcher wrestling segment, a wrestling coach segment. I like that. I like the squash against Denzel Desjardins. Denzel can hold his own a little bit. He's out there working in the singlet. I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. I like Timothy Thatcher and what he can do as well. I should note, after the Keith Lee match, even though Damian Priest has kind of staked his claim, Killian Cross's music hits. Scarlett Bordeaux comes out. She leaves the hourglass there. So you got Karrion Kross still stalking, so to speak. Santos Escobar is celebrating with Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde. He mocks Drake Maverick. Santos says that they'll have to tear down the Cruiserweight division and rebuild it in their image. I am all for that because I don't have really any interest in that division at all. Also, to kind of follow up, I feel like I've went back to Dijak and Lee three times because I have. They shared an embrace. It was a good way to write him off. But Karrion Kross attacking him is a better way to write him off. I like it. Also, man, again, I'm skipping around. Oney Lorcan saved Denzel, who was in an ankle lock after the match. Rhea Ripley posts a tweet, says that she's done with the Robert Stone brand. She's going back after the title. Robert Stone gets interrupted by Killian Dane, and Aaliyah comes up and shows him a painting that Dexter Lumis did of Robert being run over with Shotzi's tank. So we are going to get Killian Dane versus Dexter Lumis and Karrion Kross versus Dominik Dijakovic for next week's show. So that's how I imagine Kross is going to write him off. Dane forced Robert Stone to get him that match. So I'm kind of hoping at least if these people aren't going to have anything to do, they'll at least get a manager. That would be good for Killian Dane. It's going to be good for Andy Hartwell. It's good for Aaliyah. And they can do something. At least they can be a stable. I don't need them to be a main event stable. I don't need that shit at all. I just need them doing something. Oh, boy. Well, Io Shirai and Tegan Nox did something. They had a badass match, man. Tegan Nox is so good. She is going to be a star for years to come. She gets it, and so does Io Shirai. I mean, Tegan Nox is 25 and has already had some crazy injuries that have led her to miss years of her career. And even though she missed years of her career, she is still amazing. Sitting there with bum knees. And she she put on a hell of a performance, and so did Io Shirai. I thought that when this went head-to-head with Moxley and Cage, I thought this outshined Moxley and Cage. And that ain't easy to do, because Cage is a crazy move-doing son of a bitch, and Jon Moxley is nuts. And they outperformed those guys, and it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close to me. And that hurts me to say because I love Jon Moxley's work. But it doesn't hurt me to say because these girls busted their ass. And when they had to pause for something, I didn't get the same feeling. I didn't get the same feeling of, well, it's Cage maybe blowing up, so he grabbed a chin lock. I don't know, man. Also, congratulations to Tegan Nox. She went public about her relationship this week. I'm sure that's still not an easy thing to do. Much respect to her for that, and all the best. Io Shirai gets the win, and she continues looking good. Io Shirai just getting good, clean wins. The Molly go-round into the near fall, that was really awesome. Io wins with the moonsault. This is worth going out of your way to see. And then Io Shirai gets dropped by Dakota Kai, and there's the next one. There's the next one. I love it. I've been loving Dakota Kai. I've been loving Raquel Gonzalez. Here's the thing. If Dakota Kai does not get the win over Io Shirai, I would love to see she and Raquel being the two girls that take the tag titles off of Sasha Banks and Bayley. I think that would make them and really, really put a stamp on their team. AEW, so there was some really good on this show, and there was some I mean, here's the thing. Okay, as I look back, probably more that I liked on AEW. Now that I look back, and it's a good thing that there are so many things that I can look at and say, okay, I like that. To me, Cody and Sonny Kiss wasn't as good as I expected. It was good, but not as good as I expected. Moxley and Cage, I didn't like it. The Nightmare Sisters against MJ Jenkins and Kenzie Page, but we'll get to it. The Cody match, I did expect this to be a breakout performance for Sonny Kiss. I don't think it was that, but I think one's coming, and maybe it's in the team with Joey Janela that it happens. I got a great story with EC3 about Sonny Kiss on our interview. Well worth checking out. We're going to do an article on it probably next week. But we are seeing some more heel elements of Cody Rhodes. But as I've mentioned before, the thing I like so much about AEW is they don't necessarily always have somebody just go full heel. They do some heelish things, and you get to decide whether or not you think they're an asshole and whether or not you're going to cheer them at the next show or the next pay-per-view or whatever that may be. And I appreciate that, because it doesn't insult your intelligence. Cody wins with the Crossroads, retains the TNT Championship. Got to get we got to get a top name in there. If it's a free agent or something, get a top name in there. But I'm all for Sonny Kiss getting this match. And boy, was I all for FTR and Lucha Brothers Now, I had to pay attention to UFC while I was watching this, but this was what I thought it was going to be. This could have been a pay-per-view match. And admittedly, AEW's tag team division is so deep that there are a lot of people that aren't being used correctly or to their abilities. Lucha Brothers, those strike me as one. The former LAX, Santana and Ortiz, that's another. But FTR are the main guys right now. FTR are the main guys. Young Bucks are who they're setting up a feud with. And then you got Hangman and Omega. And it's very clear they're going to splinter off. They're going to feud. But right now they're the tag champs. And they're great goddamn tag champs. I mean, SCU were the first tag team champions, I think. Were they? Either way, I don't want to say they're forgotten. They're not. Yeah, they were the first tag team champions. And I won't say that they're forgotten, so to speak, but their 2.5 month reign, I don't remember a ton about it. I don't. So Hangman Page and Kenny Omega are running that division right now, but it's very clearly being set up for Bucks or FTR. And quite frankly, I think FTR should probably win the tag titles from Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. I think that Kenny Omega and Hangman Page should start getting set up for All Out. And then you set up FTR and the Bucks. That makes those are the two slam dunks to me. The two slam dunks to me, because I'm not necessarily sure who's going to compete for the AEW World Championship. I'm not sure who's going to compete for the TNT Championship. I'm not sure who's going to compete for the Women's Championship. I'm sure if I looked up and down the roster, I could figure out somebody. MJF seems as good of a contender for those championships as anybody, because he's undefeated, but we'll see. After the match, the Bucks attack Butcher and the Blade to get FTR's key truck back, and Omega comes out with a cooler, but FTR dumps the beers on him. Omega gets angry and holds the Bucks back, so I like this because it's planting a seed. And the more I recap this AEW show, the more I realize that I think it blew NXT out of the water. Again, I like that I can go back and forth on this, but Chris Jericho is out at the ring, out in, with the Inner Circle. Orange Cassidy comes out. Jericho says that he's never going to give Orange Cassidy a rematch. Orange Cassidy gives a thumbs up, thumbs down, and orange juice drops on them. Now, I thought that Ortiz's bump was good, but as he continued to do the swim, kind of like the McMahons did, it was too much for me. It was too comedy. And I get that they're funny guys, but there's a little too much for me. Didn't like it. I did like Jericho joining commentary after that, though. He's fantastic on commentary. Sometimes he screams a little bit too much, but you know what? He puts people over and gets himself over simultaneously. Like, you would expect him to just shit on Marco Stunt, and he hates Marco Stunt. He said it. But Kenny Omega's in there wrestling in a shirt, and Jericho's like, he's underestimating Marco Stunt, and you can't underestimate Marco Stunt because he's a tough son of a bitch, and he wouldn't be there if he wasn't. So I like this match as well. The Super Canadian Destroyer, beautiful spot that I did not like. And I didn't like it because you had to have Luchasaurus sitting there holding Nick Jackson up by his throat, Nick Jackson leaning over. The laws of physics do not apply here because the leverage, he could just drop backwards, and you alleviate all the pressure on your neck. Oh, but Matt's holding him up by his foot. Man, that looked so ridiculous. It looked so ridiculous, man. Like, you're just holding him there. Man, I love Marco Stunt. He's a great dude. The spot was amazing. Him pulling it off was amazing. It looked like they were training. It looked like they were at a spar. I didn't like that, man. Did not like that. But I did like the match. It was really good, and afterwards, Kenny Omega got Stunt. Well, he got Stunt with a one-winged angel, but you see, Omega's pissed because he got a beer poured on him earlier. He was trying to be a good dude. he got a beer poured on him earlier. And Omega attacks Marco Stunt, and the Bucks break it up. And Omega's like, why? Why? It's interesting. I like it. Hikaru Shida's interviewed backstage. She said she's ready for Nyla Rose, but she'll defend the title against any challenger. Thunder Rosa sounded off already, said that she would like to do it. Now, she is under NWA contract. She is, she is under contract right now, so I don't know if she can. But they announced that Ivelisse versus Diamante is happening next week, and I guess that's a good time for me to release that Ivelisse interview I did in November. And if you remember, I lost a bunch of them. We had the YouTube issues, and I lost a bunch of those interviews. But we got that one back, and she talks about her WWE tryout and Impact and said that she was so close and didn't want to burn bridges. Well, she wasn't close to Impact or WWE. She didn't get brought in there. But she's getting brought into AEW. And a lot of people have a lot of concerns about some of her attitude issues in the past. The fact that she trains at Team Vision Dojo is an issue. Being associated with Chase and Rance, that is an issue. But I think she's a very talented woman. If you've ever heard a Q&A and somebody says, who should so-and-so bring in their women's division? I said, attitude pending. Ivelisse. Nightmare Sisters, Brandi Rhodes and Allie defeated MJ Jenkins and Kenzie Page. Brandi Rhodes is outworking Allie here, and Brandi Rhodes had said that she doesn't need to be the focal point of the division in the past. I agree. A squash tag team match is okay, but I can't get behind Allie's work, man. Like, those knees did not look good. Her match last year with Leva was really bad. Their match together at Fight for the Fallen, that singles match was the last one that either one of them had all year. They didn't have another singles match with anybody all year. I can't think that was a coincidence. And if it was, the coincidence happened during a really bad match. Now, the thing is, I thought Brandi looked pretty goddamn good here. Like, in the ring. But we'll see about this and the tournament and yada yada. Seems like a way to just get Brandi and Allie over. And I don't know, man. I don't know. Nyla Rose is in the ring. She reveals Vicky Guerrero as her manager. And, I mean, that's cool. They're using a lot of legends as managers. A whole lot of legends as managers. And I get it. It's okay to do that. But this promo was not good by Vicky. And admittedly, when she first started out in WWE, her promos were not good. And they got very good. But this was not good. It was not good at all. It was really hammy and just like kind of cheesing it up and all that stuff. And I'm looking at it. And one, I'm glad they have a female manager. But they've got a lot of managers on the staff. They've got Tully, Arn, Jake, Taz. You couldn't have had one of them step up and manage Nyla and then have the association with Sean Spears or Cody Rhodes or Lance Archer or Brian Cage. Like, Taz managing Nyla Rose would have been awesome. Would have been awesome. I'll have to see more out of Vicky. I will. John Moxley versus Brian Cage. This did not do it for me. Not do it for me. There's like a big chin lock and a big camel clutch, and it didn't seem at full speed, quite frankly. I did like the finish. I was a gigantic fan of the finish. Moxley applies an armbar to, keep in mind, Cage had bicep surgery, tore his bicep this year. And Cage did not tap out. Taz threw in the towel, and I thought that accomplished a lot of things. I saw a couple people saying, oh, it made him look weak. Well, that's fucking stupid. That's outright stupid. Brian Cage would not tap out while he had an armbar applied on his injured arm. He wouldn't tap out. But John Moxley won the match. Throwing in the towel is clean. We've established that. Throwing in the towel is completely clean. Damn. It's a good one, and it makes Taz look like he cares about his client. It makes him look smart. It makes Cage look like he was not going to tap out. he would have rather got his arm ripped off, and it gives Jon Moxley a win. I didn't have to like the match to love the booking, and sometimes that's part of the battle. So I know I've went back and forth about 7 times saying, oh, I preferred this match, I preferred this show, preferred that show. I preferred AEW. Looking back, reviewing this, I thought there were better booking decisions, although I did like the booking decision of bringing back Dijakovic with Keith Lee. I assume Karrion Kross is writing him off. I loved the women's title match. I liked the Indy Hartwell win. I liked Killian Dane's integration with Robert Stone. There was a lot to like in wrestling tonight. And unfortunately, I had to keep my eye on the UFC show. I say unfortunately because there's so much good wrestling on right now. And here I am watching Yaz Island. But over on AEW, I'm glad Sonny Kiss got that opportunity. Cody gets a win. I like that. FTR and the Lucha Brothers tore it down. Them not being able to start the truck was fucking hilarious. Hilarious. Brandy, I thought was good in the ring. The Elite and Jurassic Express, albeit that one weird spot, enjoyed. And the Aftermath, I loved. And I adored the booking of Moxley and Cage. Amazing. Also, Darby Allin, I almost forgot, returned at the end of Fight for the Fallen, attacked Brian Cage. That is going to be a freaking banger. A banger. Next week, Hangman Page against a member of the Dark Order. Jurassic Express against Hager and Jericho. Cody defends the TNT Championship. Young Bucks versus Butcher and the Blade in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Ivelisse versus Diamante. MJF in action. It looks like a run-of-the-mill show. I'm glad to see MJF in action. Next week, you got Killian Kross against Karrion Kross. My God, it's so frustrating. Karrion Kross against Dijakovic and Dexter Lumis against Killian Dane. Until next time, guys, Q&A show drops Thursday. We're out.